Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 20. Now from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know that how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you, among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom, will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained from his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish anyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude of no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clean in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' And then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?' I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. and he who sits on the throne will shelter him with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. As Pastor mentioned at the beginning of the service, every fourth Sunday of Easter in A, B, and C lectionary series is always Good Shepherd Sunday. What I realize today is that does not always mean we have Psalm 23 for the intro, which I did sort of think we had. We hear it, it's in Scripture in a lot of different places. But what does it really mean to have a good shepherd? What would you say? If someone asks you, "What do you mean you have a good shepherd?" how would you answer that question? For a lot of people, I think, the basic response is what the screen says today. Not that thy rod and thy staff comfort me, that might be part of it, but the words that are inscribed in the shadows of the rock. Do you see it? They're in these shadows. Some see it really easily and others don't see it very well. If you're not, Doug, could you just sort of advance that slide? Oh, you did. Oh, thank you. I should have looked first. You can advance it again. Thou art with me. I think that's what a lot of people take great comfort in when we talk about Jesus being our good shepherd. In fact, the whole of Psalm 23 is dearly loved by many people. It's very understandable to us. It's accessible to us. And it's that quiet confidence that Jesus is our good shepherd watching over us. And all Psalm 23 is true. Jesus, our good shepherd, nourishes us with the green grass of his word. He leads us to the quiet waters of our baptism, where we can again and again drink deeply of its living waters. He restores our soul, even as he lays a table for us, the table of his body and blood, in the presence of many different kinds of enemies. Jesus, our good shepherd, leads us in ways that are good and right, even leading us through the valley of death's shadow. And yes, we can be certain that goodness and mercy not only follow us, but actually pursue us all the way until we reach our eternal home. A shepherd who does these things is certainly a good shepherd. But today I want to push things a little bit further, a little bit deeper. This beautiful imagery of Psalm 23 is also found in Revelation chapter 7, which was our second reading. Here, through the eyes of John and by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, we see a great multitude appearing around the throne of God in the heavenly throne room. They're dressed in white robes, they're carrying palm branches in their hands, and they're crying out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all of heaven and everything we see in the throne room responds with the grand Amen and another song of praise. A moment later, we're told who this new multitude in the scene is, that they are the ones who are coming out of the great tribulation. Now, I don't think I've ever noticed this before, but these are they who are coming out. That's a continuous process. It's something that's started, and yet it's not quite finished, almost like a parade. And more than that, with these saints waving palm branches, we see that this parade coming out of the Great Tribulation is extremely similar to the Palm Sunday parade we celebrated 5 weeks ago, when our Savior was going into Jerusalem to be the Lamb of sacrifice for our salvation. What are they coming out from? This palm parade is coming out of the Great Tribulation. They're coming out of great trial and trouble, and they're coming into the glory of the presence of God and the Lamb. And that's good news. There's already a great multitude that has and is still coming out of this tribulation, which means the great tribulation did not win. The great tribulation being spoken of did not engulf or consume the shepherd's sheep. Not that it didn't try. Or maybe it's a little better to say, not that the evil one behind it all didn't try, but he did not win. The shepherd won. And that's what we're celebrating this whole Easter season. Our good shepherd's great victory over the evil one and over sin and over death, over hell, over the grave. For Christ is risen. Alleluia. But let's go a little bit deeper. Think about this a little bit more. What is this tribulation? What is it for you? What's the trial or the trouble that you need your good shepherd to get you through? Maybe some of you are thinking about diseases or accidents you're dealing with. You need a good shepherd in the midst of it. But when cancer or Alzheimer or stroke or whatever takes away my loved one, what then? Was your shepherd not very good? Or maybe you think of the financial troubles you're in, or the relationships, or family troubles, or unemployment, or some other kind of hardship. When these things come and maybe even remain in your life for a long time, does that mean that your good shepherd isn't watching out for you? These things, and obviously many more, are certainly tribulations. But what makes them so is not the fact that they happen. Jesus warned us well enough, we will have troubles in this world. Paul warns us clearly in letter to the Romans that this world, as well as we ourselves, we are groaning always under the burden of sin and its corruption. Much of the entire book of Revelation shows serious persecution and trouble for the followers of Jesus as Satan does his worst. But it's not the trouble and the trial that is the great tribulation directly. It's what happens when those things come. Because when these things spring on us like traps, pop out in the middle of life to wreak havoc in our lives, the evil one will try to use the trouble and tribulation to rob you of your faith. His goal always is to make you think that your good shepherd doesn't really care about you, that he in fact hates you, that he isn't helping you, and he won't help you. He refuses to help you. Why? Because his love is a myth, a fiction. This is the great tribulation. I've witnessed this great tribulation in two different people that I've run across in the last couple of years. Their response to the tragedies of their life reveals this battle. A battle that happens, and how oftentimes the call and the work of the Good Shepherd is either helped or hindered through the people in our lives. As I thought of these examples, I also thought of Mother's Day, because it's an example of two mothers. The first was a couple of years ago when I spent the night in the hospital after one of my ablations. My nurse was a wonderful woman. She gave me excellent care. She is a fantastic conversationalist, gave me great comfort in calming me down under different things. But it was interesting because she made sure right away that I knew that she was not religious. In our conversation, she spoke of all the patients who had tried to convert her over the years, but she said she was proud of the fact that she could serve people who are non-religious in a comforting way as well. As the conversation unfolded over the course of the evening, I asked her finally, if she was raised that way or what had happened, or, if it was just the way life was for her. She told me, though, of a tragedy. When she was young, her 10-year-old brother was killed by a drunk driver. It's a horrific tragedy, to be sure, especially the randomness of the loss and at such a young age. The depth of grief could be unimaginable. The family was loosely Roman Catholic at the time, she said, but the great tribulation caused them to simply walk away from the faith. She told me that her mother said many times, "There can be no God because he would never allow such things to happen." That became the confession of the family. The other case happened just 2 weeks ago. Again, a rather random event. I was in Fergus Falls looking at a new-to-us car. The salesman came out and started his pitch. He was a very nice guy, willing to be, honest with me, how that feels sometimes. And after a while, as always happens, what do you do? "I'm a pastor." "Oh," he said, My brother was a Lutheran pastor, but he died. He said he told me he had went to Concordia St. Paul, and then he went to St. Louis. He had been called to serve our church up in Holloway. The thing of it is, after 6 years, he was a very active guy, very athletic guy. I believe he said they were having a church softball game, and the parsonage was only like a mile away from the ball field. But as he left the ball field and went home, nobody really knows what happened, except that the car went off the road and he was killed. He said that his brother left behind a wife, and it was 32, and left behind a wife and four kids. And he said he was very angry at God for a long time. But he said, "My mother just kept quietly reminding me, Jesus won. Kevin's with him." The glory of that confession is this salesman is now an active member in our congregation at Breckenridge. And on, I can't remember because I can't visualize, on his left or his hand, right hand, he has an extremely large cross tattoo. He says, it's to remind me of my brother and my Savior. He said, people think it's a little too bold for a salesman, but he says it's important. Two mothers, two tragedies, two results. Was Jesus the Good Shepherd just not quite strong enough in the first case? No. We did hear Jesus speak a hard truth in our gospel reading today. To those who kept asking if he was the Christ, or we'll just say if he was the shepherd, he responded, I told you, and you do not believe. There are simply some who will not trust Jesus as the Good Shepherd. The troubles and the trial of the world just become too much. There are so many people who need our love and our empathy for the troubles they've gone through that have consumed their life and faith. It's interesting, the nurse, I mean, she was absolutely clear. She didn't need any preaching, and they don't. But they do need that love and empathy and that relationship where maybe we do have an opportunity to simply share with them our quiet hope and trust in a shepherd who can take us even through the shadow of the valley of death. But Jesus also speaks words today that make our hearts sing. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. This is why we gather week in and week out to listen to hear the voice of our good shepherd, to receive him in the table that he prepares before us in the very midst of the enemies of sin and death, to encourage one another with the resurrection hope we have in all situations, good and bad. Because Jesus is the good shepherd, guiding and leading us to the green pastures, through the shadows of the valley of death, and to even more. Because he is leading us out of the great tribulation and lead us into the full life to come, in which we have that great promise that we will never hunger or thirst anymore. The sun will not strike us nor any scorching heat. Why? Because the Lamb in the midst of the throne will lead us to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from our eyes. That's what it means to have a good shepherd. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.